Good morning.
Today's Bible reading is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 13. I read, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamp and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamp, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessel with their lamp. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamp. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamp are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" Here is the Bible reading. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
If you love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be here. Good to be in God's house on the Lord's Day with God's people to worship Him in spirit and truth. We are so thankful, and I'm so thankful for the privilege and opportunity to be here this morning. I want to welcome each and every one of you, especially our visitors. Whether you've been here for the first time or 101st time, we say welcome to you. We invite and encourage you to come back and visit with us often, and know that a warm Christian welcome awaits you here. The Bible says in Romans 16:16, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." We are mindful this morning that there are many who are not here, traveling to Scotland. Our dear minister, Brother Paul, and several of us and our youth are there, and Lord willing will return this evening. We pray that their time in Scotland has been a time of refreshing. I'm sure the parents are grateful to an extent. The house is perhaps a bit quieter, and pray that something has been said to encourage them to walk closer with the Lord and to develop their relationship with Him. This morning, I'm before you to preach the word to you and invite your kind attention to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and meet me in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 1. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, which reads, "The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Verse 5 says, But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go round to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. The message this morning is in extracted from the verse number 13 of our text. Watch, therefore. Watch, therefore. It is here that the major point of this text is to watch, for you know not the day nor the hour. And follows Jesus' discourse in Matthew 24 on the Mount of Olives, where he was asked a question, when will the end come? And he answered three questions regarding the end of the Jewish age, which historically came in AD 70. You read that in Matthew 24, verses 42 to 51. The previous sermon in Matthew 24 was laced with warnings about being watchful and ready. Why? You do not know the hour the Lord will arrive. And Jesus instructs the disciples on being faithful while awaiting the return of the Lord. The book says in Matthew 24 and verse number 48 through 51, Matthew 24, verse 48 through 51 says, but if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on that day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and apportion his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Church, I want you to know that God expects for those of us who are Christians to always be watchful, because we do not know the day or the hour. Though the Lord is not present with us physically, he will come again. And the message is entitled, Watch Therefore. The urgency of watching and doing is emphasized in Matthew 24, 46 says, blessed is that servant who his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Will the Lord find you watchful when he comes? And so, in the parable of the virgins, we popularly known in Matthew 25, the context is a marriage. And the Eastern marriage or customs or traditions were considerably different from ours in our Western world, and they are illustrated in this parable. A typical Jewish wedding had several parts or three stages. The first stage was the engagement, and it was often arranged by the fathers of the children when they were very young, because between either before birth or by the age of 3 years old. And the second stage was what we call the betrothal. The betrothal. And this was the time to determine whether or not they would accept the parents' choice. And if both parties agreed, the transaction was made in binding. And the bride and groom would meet for the first time here during the betrothal. You know, in the story of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, Mary and Joseph were betrothed, and it was at that stage, technically, they were considered to be married. They were considered to be married. And to refuse marriage at this point demanded a divorce, as the couple were considered married. Matthew, chapter 1, verse 19 says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. You know the story. Mary was a virgin, and Mary was pregnant. And Joseph perhaps asked, well, who's the father of this child of your virgin? He said, this child is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph didn't understand that. He said, listen, I don't want to bring shame on you and my family, so we need to file for divorce. And the text says he discovered that it was of the Holy Spirit. So Mary and Joseph had not consummated their marriage sexually, and so he was mindful to put her away. And infidelity at this point was considered adultery. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 23 to 24. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the fifth book of the Bible is Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse number 23. Here's the law. Here's what the Bible says. says, if a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to a husband, and a man finds her in the city and lies with her. Verse 24 says, then you shall bring both of them out of the gate of that city, and you shall stone them both to death with stones. The young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife, so you shall put away the evil from among you. Aren't you glad we're not living in those times today? Amen. And so the concept, the principle, was that the woman, the young woman, would guard her virginity as well as the young man. And even though technically they were not married yet, she was still considered off limits. And so the two would be taken outside of the city and stoned to death. And that goes against our popular philosophy of Shekinah, amen, that's marriage, or your living as if you're married, and when you're not married, and enjoying the benefits of marriage, amen. And so this was the principle in the Old Testament, that this woman who was betrothed was not to be defiled by a man that was other than her husband or fiancé, as we would know it today. And so virgins, in the context of Matthew 24, attended the bride and waited to receive the bridegroom and accompany him to his bride's house while he went away to prepare a house for his bride. So before the actual marriage ceremony, the bridegroom would go away to build a house to receive his bride. And so that's a model for us today as well, young ladies. Amen. You ought not marry a man who has no ambition to have his own house. And so it would be the father's job to supervise the building of this house while the marriage was being prepared for. And so the bridegroom never announced the exact hour for the marriage and his arrival. And we see in the context, in the parable of this, of our story today. And so all his friends traditionally had their lamps and oil ready for his arrival when he did come. Why? Because marriages and marriage feasts were almost always celebrated at night. Thus the need for this lamp, for the lamps and the oil in the lamps. They didn't have a B&Q to go to. They didn't have a B&M to go to. They didn't have an Asda to go to. And so the arrival of the groom was pre-announced only within moments. Only within moments. Verse number 6 says, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. And so we see the bridegroom evidently is Christ in the parable. And so what can we learn? What's the point of this lesson for us today? It's now 2023. We're in the month of April. And perhaps you become complacent. Perhaps you have forgotten that the Lord will return one day. But are you watchful? And will you be watchful? And will he find you ready to meet him? The first thing we can learn is that Christ is coming, but there is a period of delay. Christ is coming back, but there will be, and there is, we're living in God's grace period. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. I'll give you a chance to turn there along with me. 2 Peter 3 and verse 1 says, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure mind by way of a reminder. In other words, I've told you already, I'm going to remind you a second time, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments from us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Verse number 3 says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking around according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? In other words, Jesus didn't come back last year. He didn't come back 2 years ago. He didn't come back 12 years ago. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And verse number 5 says, for this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that was existed perished, being flooded with water. What's he talking about? He's talking about in the book of Genesis, when God judged the world through the flood and destroyed all flesh except that which was in the ark. That was God's first judgment of the world. We continue on, verse number 7 says, but the heavens and earth which are now preserved by the same word are reserved not for destruction by water, Peter says, but by for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 8 says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. We're now living in the year 2023. You know what that means? That was 2023 years after Jesus died, and he hasn't come back yet. So if we do Peter's calculations, that's 2 days to the Lord. A day is as 1,000 years. 2 days ago. Isn't that something, church? Are we watchful today? I'll be waiting for the Lord today. He said, well, he didn't come, he's not coming back. That's the first thing we can learn. There's a period of delay. Number two, it was to be an unexpected arrival. It was to be an unexpected arrival. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse number 1. Hear what the Bible says. Paul says, but concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come how? As a thief in the night. The day of the Lord means judgment day. It just fascinates me how God works. It says judgment day. The Lord will judge the whole world in one day. How many people on the planet right now? Over 6 billion people right now. But what about all the people that were before you in all the one day? Verse number 3 says, for when they say peace and safety, that's what, listen, when folks pray, we're praying for peace and safety. Is that God's will, peace and safety? Peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Now, I've never been pregnant. I don't intend to get pregnant, amen. But they tell me, sisters, that when those labor pains come, it's nothing like it. But that's how judgment day is going to come, like those labor pains, sisters. And it says, watch this now. And it says in verse number 4, just in case you forgot, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. You can listen. Ain't nothing good happen at night. There was a song years ago. It used to say the freaks come out at night. And you probably don't know what that song did. But see, God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He said, you are of the day, you are of the light. He didn't call us for darkness. He says, watch this now. For those, verse 7, who sleep when? At night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. That's why it's called a nightclub. You will never see a sign say a day club. We're not going to daytime. We want to go to the nightclub. But verse number 8 says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. First Thessalonians 4:6 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." So that's the second thing. It was to be an expected arrival. Number three, we should and must watch and be ready. We got to be ready now. And number four, this is most important, that preparation is individual and not transferable. Preparation is individual and not transferable. What do I mean by that? Philippians 2:12 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence," says what? "Work out your own salvation." In other words, parents, you can't save your children. You can encourage them, you can direct them, you can instruct them, but work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, work out your own salvation. I don't know about you. That song that says when we all get to heaven, it should be when the saved get to heaven, when the watchful get to heaven, when the prepared get to heaven. You won't end up in heaven by mistake unless you are watchful, therefore. And we must understand there is a difference between last minute preparation and preparation beforehand. As I often say, the best time to have a fire extinguisher is before there's a fire. You don't go run out and look for a fire extinguisher when you've got a fire, because it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. Huh? So I want to be prepared beforehand. The five foolish virgins thought they could stay up all night and cram for the exam the next day, yet they had not prepared all semester. Young people, amen. Say, "Man, I got it. You know, I have to study. But that's only going to last for a season." Amen. That's what, and here's a plug for Wednesday night and for Sunday morning. That's why it's called Bible study. Amen. It's a difference between reading and studying. And so, they had, listen, they did some things, but they missed out on the main thing. They did some things, but they missed out on the main thing. Jesus expects for us to make him a priority every single day. That's why he said in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And here's the interesting thing. Each of the 10 virgins had the same opportunities, the same amount of time, and the same task. They had the same opportunity, the same amount of time, and the same task. All of us get 24 hours a day. God doesn't give you 23 and me 27. Isn't that interesting? They all had the opportunity to do one thing. Just be ready with oil in your lamp for when the bridegroom comes. Huh? You know what it says? Some slept and slumbered. You know, folk come to church and go to sleep. Did you know that? Some folk come, leave their house to come to the church house to go to sleep. Huh? I'm going somewhere with that. I'm going somewhere with that. And so, therefore, we must each use our first opportunity, because life only affords one. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment." You ever heard of folks say, did you hear about John? They say John died again. He died three times already. You ever hear that? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this death, it's judgment. It's too late. It's too late. And so I want you to suggest to you, you remember in the book of John chapter 14, John chapter 14, you know the scripture. Jesus said in verse number 1, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." He says, And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to do what? Prepare a place for you. So we say, Jesus came to establish the church, which is his brother. And now, remember I said that the Father supervises the Son as he builds this house. And when the Father says, you're finished, then the announcement will go to say, here comes the bridegroom. I go to prepare a place for you. What for? That where I am, you will be also. See, Jesus tells us here. He tells us what it's going to do. He tells us why we're going to do it. He's telling us who it's for. But guess what he doesn't tell us? When it's coming back. He doesn't say when it's coming back. But he said, let not your heart be troubled, because you know what happens? We get complacent. We get forgetful. We get worried. You ever see those pictures or in the movies when the children, young children, are at the window. They're at the window, and what they're waiting for, mommy and daddy's coming. Huh? And they hear a car, and they're running. Is it him? Is it her? Huh? I don't know what else is happening, and when they see mom and daddy coming up the driveway, they're all excited. Are we excited for Jesus to come back? When was the last time you were homesick for heaven? When was the last time you reminded yourself that, listen, I need to be at the window watching for the Father to come back? Or are you more interested in what you're going to do tomorrow? Next week, next year, when I graduate, when I do this. And you know, we've got all these plans. But the Lord said, watch therefore, for you know not the hour when the Lord will come back. But listen, William Barclay tells of a strategy session that Satan had with his demons to trick people into eternal damnation. One demon said, Satan, I've got a plan. Let's whisper in people's ears that there is no God. No, Satan said, creation declares the reality of God. People are too smart to deny his existence. A few might be suckered in, but not the masses. I got it, said a second demon. We'll say there is no hell. No, Satan said, people understand there needs to be retribution and judgment. People won't buy into that. A third demon said, let me suggest how we might trick them. Instead of saying no God or no hell, we'll just say no hurry. No hurry. Satan said, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. And he commissioned his demons to go throughout all the world whispering, no hurry. You've got time. And you don't have to make a decision right now. Huh? That's Satan's biggest deception, to just say, wait, just wait. You know there's a problem in your life somewhere. You know you've got to be more committed. You know you've got to do less of whatever. But he just says, no hope. No hope. Have you been duped by such a satanic strategy? If so, may the Spirit open your eyes and may you respond by faith by giving your life to Christ in baptism, before it's eternally too late and the door is shut. In our text, in Matthew 25, the Bible says, afterward, in verse 11, the virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. We're ready now. Huh? You were in a hurry before, but now you're in a hurry. But he answered in verse number 12, assuredly I say to you, I do not. No. I do not know you. And here's the warning, verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. He might come this afternoon on the way home from this building. He might come tonight while you're in your third dream. Will you be ready? That's a personal question. The Lord simply asks us to watch. Don't watch TV, don't watch calories, don't watch me. Watch out for the Lord. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian and you can have that hope and promise of heaven by doing five simple things. First of all, you must hear the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to believe that Jesus, number two, is the only one to save you from your sins. That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Number three, you've got to repent of your sins. That repentance takes place from the neck up. It is a decision to say, I'm going to say no to Satan and yes to Jesus. Luke 13:3-5, I tell you, nay, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Number four, you must confess Jesus as Lord. That confession is simply that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And number five, you've got to complete your obedience by being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. That's Acts 2:38, Mark 16:15-16, and many other passages of scriptures talk about baptism. And for those of us who are Christians, you know, this Bible that I have here, I got this Bible in 2003. And it looks like it's worn, because a worn-out Bible should be a reflection of a worn-out Christian. And so it has helped me to be faithful to the Lord. Revelation 2 and 10 tells us to remain faithful until death. And for those of us who are Christians, perhaps you have become complacent and forgotten what our purpose is, as we come to this building every Sunday. It's not to see each other. It is to worship the true and the living God and to bring our burdens to the Lord. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Jesus is ready, willing, and waiting to forgive us not only of our sins, but also to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Perhaps you need prayer today. Lord, I'm struggling with something and no one knows what I'm going through. He knows. Nobody cares. He cares. Nobody can fix me. Jesus can fix you. He may not take that burden away, but he'll give you strength for the journey. He'll give you strength for the journey. But you've got to be willing to trust him. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in either of these two ways, we invite and encourage you to come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.